What's up, everybody? Welcome to the very first episode of Arc Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight. Happy Labor Day! Let the clouds separate, let the lightning bolts flash, even though there's no bad weather. Yeah, it is an absolutely beautiful Labor Day, and no doubt most of you listening to this are driving home right now with your motor toys in tow. A little hungover, maybe, as the memories of the last weekend of the summer slowly creep back into your brain. Hopefully you guys had a great weekend wherever it is that you were. This episode is absolutely jam-packed full of weld goodness. I'm going to be talking to Marcus of Weldporn, one of the biggest social media centers for the welding community on the planet, with over 470,000 followers, not to mention one of the most used hashtags on Instagram. I talked to Marcus about how Weldporn started. Plus, we go into the little bit of the ups and downs and the uncertainties that Marcus went through when starting Weldporn, and actually what he had to do from just becoming a welder into more of a businessman to keep this going. It's actually a very exciting story, and we go all the way across the pond to Australia for this one, as Weldporn is based in Australia. A little later on, I'm going to be talking to Joe from Weld Devils, a welding apparel and online community, about being an employee versus being an asset to your company. Too many people today get stuck with the idea that learning a trade is where it ends, that one trade is where it stops. Well, in today's markets, it takes a lot more than just being one trade. You need to know as many things as possible, get as many feathers in your cap as possible. And I dive into that a little bit with Joe. And that's where becoming an employee versus an asset to your company really takes hold. But before we get into those interviews, I need to give a shout out to our sponsors, Torched Up. Go to www.torchedup.com right now and enter code ARC. That's right, A-R-C, all caps lock. This is case sensitive, so remember to use caps lock when you type in ARC. Enter ARC and you're going to receive 10% off your first month. What Torched Up is a monthly subscription box that comes to your house every single month. You forget you even pay for it, and it just shows up like a present to you for yourself. It's like, yay, I just got a present for myself. And this box is full of completely usable welding gear. Absolutely 100% usable. The last one I got had Blue Demon gloves. It had a TIG finger from WeldingTipsAndTricks.com. It had paint markers, Blue Demon multi-mix tungsten, not to mention some snacks. It had the absolute works. This box is 100% worth the money. And remember, if you use code ARC, you will receive 10% off your first month at www.torchedup.com. All right, that's enough for trying to sell you stuff. Let's start the show. Weldporn has become one of the most internationally recognized symbols of the welding community. And I'm not even trying to be modest. With over 470,000 followers, the numbers speak for itself. I reached out to Marcus from Weldporn and asked him, how is it that you started something from an idea and grew it into the amassing empire that is Weldporn?
I think it just happened that way. Like, it wasn't planned. Like I was saying to most people who ask that question, it's basically just, it just happened that way. Like, when we first started, it was a very small group of people on Instagram. I only had my personal account back then. You know, there was only a handful of us welders. I think it was probably about, I don't know, 2010 or 2011. Back then, everything was just porn. Like, we'd see a nice car and we'd be like, oh, look at that. That's porn. Uh-huh. You know, like, everything was porn. And then I was on a job welding at a brewery doing a gas plant install. We were doing a lot of stainless, and you know what stainless world's like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it comes up nice. And it was just a saying, like, we'd just be like, we'd finish a weld, and because it was all us blokes, and we'd just flick our hood up and we'd be like, oh, check out this weld porn. And I was like, right. Oh, that's pretty cool. And we just got saying it. And then, you know, like, I didn't know how a hashtag worked back then on Instagram. So right.
It used to be the pound.
Like, yeah, I was just like, and I clicked on it. And I was like, oh, cool, there's other people that are posting their pictures with the same saying. And I was like, that's awesome. And then I met a few guys on there, and I think it was Weld Brad, who he's been a good long-term friend, and Earl Jackson. They were the first couple of guys that I sort of come across. And they were hashtagging as well. And I was just like, well, we're all hashtagging it, but for what reason? Like, no one's going to see it unless you actually click on that link or that hashtag and see. So basically, I just thought, well, you know, why don't we just have a page? Because pages weren't, it's not like they are today. Like pages back then, like there was only one or two around, I think, not even that. Like I just thought it'd be a good thing for people to be able to, for me to be able to like post other people's work perhaps and just see where we take it. And like I said, it grew really quickly and there was quite a good community on Instagram back in 2011 or 2012 or whatever. And it just really took off. And I think because there was no one else doing it and just the fact that it was good way to see how other things were done around the world. And it was just as easy as flicking your phone open at lunch or on your smoko break or whatever and then checking it out, if you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't like you had to search for it. It was just popping up on your newsfeed. And I think that's what made it attractive because, you know, we all got notifications and stuff that each other were posting things. And it just opened up everyone's eyes to different techniques and stuff like that because a lot of people hadn't seen walking the cuff, say, and we were really into it. And some of the welding inspectors at work, that's what they preferred. So for me, it was just normal. And posting a video of it in use, then people were blowing out because they're like, well, you're resting the cup on the pipe and stuff like that. So it was a good way to get a lot of, not tips and tricks, but just different techniques out there in the world. And it was good. So therefore, it picked up steam pretty quickly. And yeah, I just threw the idea out there and said, you know, I've weld every damn day and let's get some stickers made up saying that. And I got some stickers made up and pretty much gave them all out to start with. Like a lot of shit I've given out over the years. Like, yeah, I haven't made shitloads of cash. I'm basically, like, in order to get it all going, like I just wanted people to rep the stuff, if you know what I mean. So I just gave it all away. Yeah, so, and then it just sort of fell into place, the online store, and yeah, it is what it is today. So that's how it'll sort of come about.
Well, so I mean, going back to you know, where you said you were just sort of giving away the stickers and things like that for the promotion, you know, and with Weld Porn being what it is today, what do you think is the most important thing when building a brand like Weld Porn?
Yeah, I think you just got to give back. Like you sort of, yeah, I've not done any marketing. I have not done anything. Like all I've done is been a skater my whole life. I've always skateboarded and I've been lucky enough to be sponsored at it. So what I took from my days of being a sponsored skater, I sort of just incorporated that into welding industry. Like I just wanted to see, because down here I felt I was like, people would say, oh, what do you do for a living? And I'd be like, oh, I'm just a welder. And then it was like I was not proud of it. And then one day a guy just said, you don't ever just say, oh, you're just a welder. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, be proud of it. And I was like, yeah, shit, yeah, I should be. So I think for me it was a way of getting welding not cool, but just to get it so it's, yeah, cool, I guess.
No, hey, we got the same goal there, really. I mean, you know, there is this sort of unspoken thing when it comes to welding. When someone, you know, classifies a welder, you know, they think you're dirty or you're an alcoholic or you come home and beat your wife, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you got like five kids to different women and, you know, like it's so many stereotypes. And, like, especially for me, I was working away a lot. Like, I'd hardly see my family because I was out pipe welding, like, for months on end. But also got paid big money. So I sort of put that to the side, like, the family and that, and got in front. So, you know, like, I got to be able to buy a house and stuff like that. So, but the stereotypes is what pissed me off. And, I mean, yeah, the name World Porn, I know some people don't like the porn part.
Hey, it appeals, man. It appeals. It's
great. It is what it is. It catches your eye, like the logo. And, you know, you've got to understand, like I was saying, I haven't had any training. And that logo, I seriously just put together, like, in 5 seconds. And I'm just so stoked that it's, you know, standing the test of 5 or 6 years or whatever we are to now. So, If I was to do a business again, there's so many things you got to do. Like, you got to trademark shit, you got to register stuff. Like, there's so much stuff that I've learned along the way, and it wasn't until I managed to get a business partner in the USA that he was a businessman. So he took me under his wing and basically said, mate, this is what you got to do. Otherwise, you know, you could be in trouble and people can just take your shit. Like, I had to register everything and trademark stuff. And I mean, people still use the hashtag. Like, you got to understand, the hashtag isn't the brand name, if you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. It's just well-worn. But the hashtag logo is sort of just stuck.
Right.
And, yeah, I threw it out there and said to people, like, should I get rid of it or should I keep it? Everyone's like, well, keep it because that's how you're recognized. So it is what it is sort of thing. But, yeah, it's been a crash course in business 101, that's for sure. So, I mean, yeah, I've lost money buying gloves and stuff like that. Like, I've paid for gloves off the supplier and not seen the gloves. You know what I mean? Like, I've learned ways on how you've got to conduct business. Like, you've got to put a deposit down first and then, you know, pay the remainder once the job's sort of completed. Like, this is all stuff I didn't really know because, let's face it, all I cared about was skateboarding, right, welding and my family. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't give a fuck about how the gloves came to us on the job site. I just went to the container and grabbed them out of the container and put them on, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, it's pretty crazy how much is involved. But
oh, especially yeah. When you start your own business and, you know, and going into that, there's all that aspect to that. You have to understand what's going in, what's coming out. You got to process all the numbers, you know, otherwise it can all be taken from you and your good idea with good intentions can fall into the wrong hands and you're right, be gone. That's it.
Yeah. And I think that's what has been good about having a business partner who is in that, who's trained in that, because, yeah, like I said, it's not common knowledge, but obviously being in Australia, I found that like 80% of our customers was from America. So, you know, I was like I said to my wife, I said, but maybe we should look at setting up in America because people were waiting 14 days for their parcel to arrive or whatever they bought. So, you know, I just thought, well, if I can cut that time down, and it might make it even more appealing, and you know, it just makes sense because I don't want people. I felt bad because people be like, "Oh, where's my parcel? I ordered it 2 weeks ago," and I'll be like, "It's on its way." Because it was weird; it was hit and miss. Like some people get their parcel in 4 or 5 days, and some would it'll be 3 weeks. So, yeah, and we sort of helped. We sort of tried to set it up over there, and we had, you know, Ev Fabrication. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a guy on Instagram, a good welder. His name's Bobby. He sort of helped us, him and his wife helped us to start with, and we sort of just, once that happened, it started, like, growing really quick and we couldn't keep up. And, they were having another child, so it was really tough because they were sort of torn between looking after that and then doing our orders. So as it turned out, that's when my business partner rang, like, well, he wasn't my business partner back then, but some dude just rang up and was like, hey, man, like, I can sort you out, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was a joke to start with. I was just like, yeah, whatever, and didn't really take it serious. And then I didn't even reply, I don't think, so I couldn't be fucked. And then basically he kept at me and you know, I was like, oh, I'll take a look at the contract and send over a contract, like 200 pages thick. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not like a lawyer or a solicitor. So I said, just highlight the good bits and basically, yeah. So we sort of got it all legit and never looked back. So basically, yeah, we're set up professionally and we can offer free shipping in America. Like we employ Americans. And, you know, we've got our warehouse there in Houston and basically it's all set up. So we're good to go. And yeah, it's totally not what I thought of in 2013 or whatever when I first started it. So it's a blowout.
That's awesome, man. I mean, with the next generation of welders coming up and you being in the position that you are in the community, what advice could you give the next generation, be it someone in school or someone looking into to get into the welding industry, period? What type of advice would you give that person?
Basically, be prepared to start at the bottom. Like it's never easy going into a new workshop or job, you know, like, because everyone's sort of set in their ways. And I guess the main thing is, like, I guess for me, I found when I first started, obviously I did a course before I started my apprenticeship, and, you know, like, you walk in and you think you know everything. So basically, you know, keep your head down, you know, listen to what the older guys tell you, and basically, you know, don't come off as a know-all. Just, yeah, be prepared to sort of, yeah, just to learn a bit and just take it as it comes. Don't just rush ahead, and you want to jump on the TIG and do, you know, aluminium welding all day long. Like, you know, learn the processes, like maybe do stick welding and then MIG and then TIG, you know what I mean? Like, don't just jump straight into you want to be, you know, straight on the TIG, which is, if you can get that sort of job, that's fine. But, you know, I think if you, the more employable you are, the more valuable you are to a company, is the more processes that you learn and the more skills. So, yeah, you want to sort of, yeah, be like a sponge and absorb it all.
Off topic. You said you were a sponsored skater. What? Where did you used to skate? What kind of skating did you do?
Just street skating and basically park skating. Skated all around Australia, probably most in Melbourne and places like that, and just around home and the local spots. Yeah, I was just lucky enough to be picked up by a local board company and float a few boards and DVS shoes, which DVS was a very different company back then.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't do motocross and all that and surfing and all that, but it was purely a skate brand back then, and got a few pairs of shoes a month and just stuff like that. So I worked in a local skate shop, which is totally different to a welding shop, but it was okay. The days were very long compared to when you're working in a metal fab shop where you're like flat out all day. So,
right,
but yeah, love skating and I still skate to this day. So, I mean, my body hates it, but I still do it. I just, you know, it's one of those things I won't ever stop doing, I think. I mean, I'm 39, I'm turning 40 in about 3 months. So my body is like, yeah, had a hard time, but it's fun. So why stop?
Hell yeah, keep going, man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you planning on coming to FabTech Chicago by chance? Are you gonna make the jump?
I wish I could, but I can't this year. I'm gonna have a few guys there, and we're gonna have a cardboard cutout of myself, which is gonna be funny. we're gonna set it up so we like can get photos with it. But yeah, that's gonna be with the Blue Demon welding tent. They got a booth there. So we're going to set it up in that booth and have a few guys like Scott Raab and that go out and spread the word. And I think it works good that way, because obviously I'll give them, like, they can take over the Instagram feed, they can do their live videos, and basically just my idea for the FabTech is to basically just for them to go and drop into most of the sites there and just basically, yeah, see how it is. Like, that's what we did last year and it worked really good. So yeah, just not really sort of promote other people, but do it, if you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, just rock up and just see how everything's going without, yeah, coming across as like, yeah, we're trying to like promote people, which we're not. We just want people to see we're there to can't make it.
Awesome. Yeah. Dude, it was an absolute pleasure to talk to you, for real.
Likewise.
And, I'll make sure to get a picture with your cardboard cutout at FabTech this year.
Yeah, it's gonna be a trick, but I meant to keep it a secret. My business partner's like, don't you can tell anyone.
All right, I won't say nothing. I won't put it.
No, I won't put it. I can't help it, man. I'm excited because I would get a photo with that cardboard cutout. So
right on.
Yeah, I'm gonna be throwing the horns or something. Like, it'll be funny.
Cool, man. Very cool. Awesome. All right, man. It was a pleasure to talk to you. You take care.
You too, man.
Thanks for making this work with such a far distance.
That's all good. It's all good technology, eh?
Hell yeah. All right, man.
All right. Take it easy, man.
Yep, you too.
See ya.
My next guest is Joe from Weld Devils. Weld Devils was made with the purpose of repping all of the welders around the world, from the aerospace, pipe welders, structural, off-road, marine industries, every welder out there, period. Because not everybody can do this kind of work. Not everybody is willing to bundle up and get themselves burnt every day, but the devils do. And that's what Weld Devils is really all about. Joe, just like so many, started prepping, cutting, fitting, and tacking before he even really began welding, working his way up before even starting to strike the arc. It's very, very hard work day to day, but it does pay off. And Joe's story is one of those stories that really, really speak to the blue-collar worker as somebody who not only uses welding as a base for what he does, but has used welding to expand into something that is that so many people are a part of, being Weld Devils. Not to mention, Joe gets into being an employee versus being an asset and how that can benefit you and your company to not only prolong your job security, but also increase your wage. Calling in from San Diego, California, we have Joe from Weld Devils. How you doing today, man?
Pretty good, man. It was a busy day today. It's hot and horrible.
Yeah. It's humid good. Here too, man. We live in a swamp in Detroit, basically, so it's nothing but humidity. So I wanted to invite you on the show because, A, I really love what you've done, what you've really created an awesome community of welders. But before we get into what Weld Devils actually is, I want to kind of pull back a little bit, and I want to talk to you about how you got into welding. What was your journey to welding?
Well, to tell you the truth, I mean, my experience goes way back when I was a bus driver. I was driving buses here for the city of San Diego. And, well, my cousin, rest in peace, he was an iron worker. Mm-hmm. He pretty much changed my way of just looking at life. He told me if I really wanted to do bus driving all the rest of my life or anything else. So he pretty much set me into the welding career. He told me, dude, jump in into the welding career, jump in into the iron workers, or jump in into the shipyards. Because here in San Diego, that's pretty much what it is. You know, big shipyards. I mean, we got a lot of yards that pretty much deal with boats, since mm-hmm. we got a million days over here. You know, that's all we do. I mean, build ships, repair ships, and fabricate, man. I mean, we got the off-road industry, which is big over here in California.
Right.
On the southern side. So, I mean, you get to have a lot of things to do, you know. It's pretty much just set up your career. I mean, set up your goal. What is that you want, you know?
Right.
And so I started off grinding, man. Don't get me wrong. And
hey, we all did, dude. We all did.
Dude, trust me. Before I started an arc, I started grinding. I started busting. I mean, people were just busting my, you know, my ass on. Damn, when am I going to start, you know, a production? Or when am I going to start an arc? Or when, you know, anxiety comes in, right?
Right.
That determines whether you really want to be a welder or not, right? Because it's not only welding, you know? Especially when you're a fabricator. Sometimes you don't even manage to do things by blueprints. You got to figure things out.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah, so yeah, you have to think on your feet.
Yeah, so those are one of the things, you know, that pretty much, you know, got me hooked up. On 2000, I started welding on 2007, I believe. Yeah, 2007. It's already been 10 years. It's been a fun ride. I went to college for graphic design. It's funny because I don't actually do graphic design. I'm not even a freelancer. I mean, I help out here and there.
Right, right, right.
Help me create my logo.
I was going to say, yeah, you got to add something there, because them logos you're coming out with are pretty nice, man.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to hook up people, you know. I'm trying to, you know, get them involved, you know. Mm-hmm. Something out there and not, you know, make people relate.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Right. So, I mean, in the term of Weld Devils, that's pretty much the hustle and the struggle, man. I mean, the kind of like hell in life you go through. I mean, and you manage to, you know, pretty much deal with it.
Right.
it's not a big deal, you know, because it's either you love it or you hate it. I mean, it's either or you do or you don't.
Yeah, there is no middle ground with this. It truly, like you either love it or you hate it 100%. You see those guys every day that either, you know, they challenge each other to do better at their welding, or they're there just to do good enough and get a paycheck and get the hell out of there.
So that's pretty much where you know, that's I brought in the concept of weld devils, you know. Pretty much it was just me, tell you the truth, it was just me throwing in my work, which I guess I started off Instagram last year. So I started posting some of my stuff, right? And it started growing by people liking it, you know. They thought I was making a community or something like that. They thought the logo was pretty bitching. They started relating to it, and mm-hmm. You know what, that pretty I was like, wow, you know what, I can't believe, you know, you guys actually relate to all this, right? And I'm glad actually people just get involved because they relate and not because they just want to post pretty welds.
Right. And the cool thing too, man, like Instagram is really giving a home for welders.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, I saw that booming. I was like, wow, you know what? Cool, you know? So I sell stickers here and there because that was pretty much the concept, too, you know?
Right.
That people like, you know? And it's doing good, you know? I'm not trying to say, monopolize all this.
Right.
Take big names, but hey, you know what? I'm just doing whatever, you know.
Hey, man, I mean, you got to get some kind of payback. There has to be something, otherwise it's hard to keep going. You know what I mean? You can't just keep putting it out of your own pocket. If you're giving back to the community by selling them some stickers of shit that they absolutely love, then it's all good, man.
Yeah, and that's what I like. You know that they love it. You know they actually love it, bro.
Hell yeah!
And it's a fun ride. You know, I still enjoy my welding career.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty, like I said, every day is a new thing, even though there's a lot of welders out there that are pretty arrogant.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? It's like every day you learn the new thing, you know, especially on fabrication. God, man, I'm blessed, you know, learning to fabricate because, I mean, solving problems, that's one big thing that you got to know, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, I get ships. I mean, I go get sent out to base. Sometimes, you know, with no blueprints, all you got to do is just figure out how to solve a problem, how to solve a dent, how to solve anything like that. And you're like, oh, you know, that's where your capacity comes in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's I think that's where you start playing that game, you know, until you finish it. You know, you're not supposed to surrender right there, right?
A lot of cats
pretty much give up on the first strike, you know. As soon as they hear they're going to grind or cut, I mean, that's it, right? I mean, they don't want to do the hustle. They just want to weld. I mean, it's kind of hard, man, you know.
Oh, I know, man. I get new guys coming into my shop all the time where I'm like, all right, here, grind that down. They're like, do what?
Yeah, it is, man, it is. And that's where I come from, you know. I mean, pretty much it's like I started off from way bottom, you know, like I said, mm-hmm. grinding. And I think that's where you got to think about it. It's either you like it or you don't, you know, because a lot of people start by going to school.
Right.
Start welding, you know, and all they think, you know, after school, they're going to start welding. You know, they're going to get into a position, a booth, or into whatever, you know. It's easy, but it's not, you know. It's actually you got to pay attention, because welding is not just welding. You got to figure out, like, how to manipulate the metal, because it works.
Puddle control, man. Puddle control is everything, dude. Straight up. When you get out of school, you are a glorified test taker. You know how to pass the tests. You don't know shit on how to do the job. That's where we were talking about earlier with that arrogance that comes in, where you got the first or second year welders that have done one process that are just like, I am the best welder. Where it's like, sit your ass down.
Yeah, dude. Tell you the truth. I mean, I'm supervisor in my shop.
Uh-huh.
I had welders come in, and every time I put them on a test, like notching or pretty much fabricating small stuff, even a bracket, I mean, they're like, whoa, dude, you know what? I'm not here for that. I'm here for welding. I'm like, okay, that's part of the deal.
Right, yeah.
You come here, you kind of, you know, figure your way up. I mean, you're just not here to get your parts and assemble.
Weld,
you know, I mean, you're here, pretty much you put hands on it.
Yeah.
You know, if you need to get down and dirty, get down and dirty. That's it, man. Yeah, bro. I mean, it's a fun ride, you know.
Where do you see Wild Devils going, or where would you like to see where Wild Devils go?
I'm not just looking for one kind of welder. I'm looking for all them welders, the hustlers, the ones that put out with a lot of stuff and everything, you know, and the ones that are really dedicated and the ones that are really starting to get into, I mean, involved into this career, because I consider this a career, right?
No, 100%.
A lot of people don't consider it a career. They're mostly a job, you know, which is not. I mean, once you're an asset, you're an asset.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. That is it for this episode. Feel free to email the show, arcjunkies@gmail.com. Visit the website, www.arcjunkies.com. And make sure to check out episode number 2 as part of our 2-episode Labor Day premiere, as I interview Russell J. Holmes from Discovery Channel's brand new show, Garage Rehab. And a little later on in that episode, pop open a bottle of Gas Monkey Cinnamon Tequila with some friends and give you an honest-to-God review on if this stuff is actually good or is it just a lot of Gas Monkey hype. You'll find out in episode number 2 of Arc Junkies. We'll see you there.